And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, I mean, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. Well, listen, on the phone with us right now is our friend Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute. She is indeed the president of API, has been doing a great job of, I would say, just staying well in the mix. I mean, people right now in Montgomery are aware that if they've got something on the slate that is either A, controversial, or B, just needs to happen, that Stephanie is likely to be there helping the process along. And she's been doing that even as recently as this week. So without further details from me, I'm going to let her bring details to you. Stephanie Smith, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a busy early first part of the session. Usually this is the last part of the session when, you know, all of the bills have built up and everybody is trying to get their bills on the docket and, you know, through the process. But the beginning of this session has been like drinking out of a fire hose this time.
Yeah. I mean, there are times when I almost feel like that is an attempt to either A, wear people down quick, or B, mask something that's coming later. Either way, you're right. It's been a target rich environment, hasn't it?
It certainly has. I think the plan in the Senate was to bring up some of their more controversial issues first. And a decent number of those issues are also, you know, our blueprint document issues, some of the issues that we wanted them to push forward with. Some of those are controversial and some of them, you know, are just good government kind of bills. But they're pushing forward in the Senate with the divisive concepts bill that has been debated for a couple of years down in the House. And that's gotten some, it was in committee today, took a couple of hours, was public hearing, lots of commentary on both sides, some emotional pleas on a couple of sides. And then what you just mentioned about the Birmingham mayor interjecting his not only his politics but also his opinions on football. So yeah. that was an interesting response. I wish he felt that strongly about, you know, not being a sanctuary city or maybe sports betting and how that's impacting football. But it seems like he's picking and choosing his own issues.
Let me ask you about that real quick too. So divisive concepts, basically that's the bill, Senate Bill 129, I believe, that mm-hmm. deals with diversity, equity, and inclusion policies and would prevent, I mean, all it does is it literally says it prevents, classroom instruction or policies and procedures or other things that might impact the culture of a business or a school or for that matter, a government agency that impacts their ability to, you know, hire based on merit or for that matter, does mm-hmm. not allow them to promote, you know, critical race theory and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I can already see this is going to wind up being the thing that is mischaracterized by the libs on a regular basis. Yeah.
It was in committee today, as you might expect. And it was, you know, why don't you want to teach real history and things like that? And that's not what the bill does. What the bill is trying to do, frankly, is clamp down on taxpayer dollars being spent for diversity, equity, and inclusion offices and positions, and then also just kind of the overall concept of DEI. And so just as a reminder, I don't think anybody thinks that diversity is a bad thing, but it's not the only thing, and it excludes merit. And then on the equity side, that is equal outcome, not equal opportunity. And then on the inclusion side, you get into all the gender and sexuality issues. And so really what this bill is aiming for is not spending taxpayer funds on this kind of false equivalency that is really born by, frankly, Marxist tendencies with the critical race theory. So I think it's a good piece of legislation. Will Barfoot did a very good job of being very even-keeled today when he was under attack. It'll be interesting to see how it moves forward. There were some threats, for lack of a better term, from some lawmakers on the committee that if and when this came on the floor, there was, you know, I was going to be at the mic and they were going to be at the mic and, you know,
I expect nothing else. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. They always look for a reason to go to the mic. So, yeah.
That's right. But there's also a situation where there are more than one member in both the House and the Senate running for Congress. And so that microphone time is now even more valuable than it was before. And so everybody wants their time at the mic. So that's going to be a consideration on this bill and some others as we move forward.
All right. So, well, tell you what, we got other things to cover. So tell me about school choice. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, so the school choice bill has been just rocking along in both the House and the Senate.
Okay.
There's been broad support for it. But today in the House committee hearing, there's a public hearing, and there was a substitute bill brought that a lot of groups are kind of calling foul on. It created a situation to where the superintendents and the School Boards Association and AEA are now saying they are neutral on the bill instead of being opposed. So you can imagine how good the substitute is.
Yeah.
The substitute restricts the number of kids who can be involved, and also creates a reporting system so that the testing requirements that were previously in the bill were any school could use whatever testing they already use. And then that would not be reportable to anybody but to the parent. So it was really a parent choice and a parent-oriented bill. That has now shifted, and the testing will now be reported to the Department of Revenue, and that will be publicly disseminated from anybody on the Department of Revenue website.
Let me ask you for clarification on this. You said the substitute was brought. Was it considered a friendly sub by the bill sponsor, or was it an unfriendly? It was?
Yes.
Oh, you're talking about Danny Garrett, right?
Yeah, no, Danny brought it.
Oh, come on.
Danny, you know, Danny is chair of that committee, and he handed the gavel to Jamie Keel today. And went and sat in the audience and presented the bill as the bill sponsor, and he brought the substitute.
So basically, they caved to the teachers' union is what I'm hearing right now.
That is the feeling amongst the more conservative groups, is that before we walked in to the meeting this morning, most of us were pretty. I mean, there are a few things that we were holding our nose on, but most of us were pretty happy with where we were, and then leaving the meeting. The educrats were happy and the conservatives were not.
If the teachers union and the educrats are happy, then we don't have a good bill. That's like the red flags are now waving wildly in the breeze. So
that's right. And I will say this, I sent the substitute to and I won't name them, but a very well-recognized national group that studies all of this, that we, you know, exchange data and information on a weekly basis. And they said, wow, this was a good program, but it's moving into being the most restricted ESA program in the nation.
Where's the governor on this friendly substitute? Do you know?
We believe that the governor's staff was part of the drafting of the substitute.
Oh, for the love of God. All right. Well, I'm about to get...
So there you go.
Yeah, I feel my blood pressure. Thanks, Steph, for calling in and just... You know, makes me feel
like...
We haven't
even started talking about gambling.
All right. Pour the wine. It's time to relax. Here we go. All right. Yeah. I'll tell you what. How much time we got? Yeah, let's do it. Why not? Let's talk about gambling. What else you got?
So, yeah. You know, last week, frankly, was a gut punch in the House.
Yeah.
And we had 32 that voted against the most corrupt bill I've ever read in my life.
Yep.
And 25 years of reading bills. And we had 32 that voted against it. Not that many that stood up and spoke against it, frankly, but a handful of warriors, and then, 32 who voted against it. And, the fear was that train was rolling straight to the Senate. It has hit a buzzsaw in the Senate, which is good news.
Yeah.
The bills, frankly, are so bad. The corruption is written into the fabric of the bills intentionally, and it's pretty easy to see. It's not even silent. It's not like, oh, this could happen, or people who know, you know, how money exchanges hands in Montgomery are like, oh, that could happen. This could happen under the table. It is literally written into the bill. And so that's easy to see. And then, you know, they just kind of overplayed their hand with the number of types of gambling they're wanting to have, unlimited sports betting licenses. It's just a free-for-all, frankly. It is nothing like what we were told, which was some sort of, you know, middle of the road, hey, let's shut down the illegal operators over here and just, you know, just make sure that all those hundreds or whatever illegal slot machines in the back of a florist are shut down. This is a huge expansion of gambling. It would change the culture of the state. And I think that the senators are seeing that. This is not your grandma's lottery. Nope. It is full-fledged casino gambling, from every corner of the state and possibly even two casinos in the city of Birmingham. So that is something I think most of your Birmingham listeners might not have heard. But there was an amendment on the floor last week that supposedly was meant to protect Baldwin County, but they erased the 50-mile radius of how far apart the gambling operations had to be. And so that created a situation that will allow the possibility of two casinos in the city of Birmingham.
That's, it just keeps getting better and better. And I look at it and think, there's no way in the world they don't know what they're doing. They do know exactly what they're doing. In fact, we commented back and forth by text, but I wrote a piece. You guys went down the very fact-based way that API is so good at. I chose to go ahead and do public shaming in my piece. and I basically said, there's a whole lot of straw man arguments. Well, we're just honoring the right of the people to vote. No, you're not. Mm-hmm. If you want to pass the CA and say that's about voting, you still don't have to pass the enabling legislation the way it passed. It's unreal. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, they're doing this whole thing about, well, we're trying to protect the people from these unregulated illegal casinos. Well, they're protected now. Just give the AG what he needs to do his job. Period.
That's right. And then on the enforcement piece, they have a very light touch on actual illegal gambling, but they have a very heavy hand on anybody who's trying to cheat the casino. Yeah. So yeah, just everything in it is like that. And actually I wanted to make sure to call your attention to the fact that they are actually written in the bill, allow the illegal operations to continue into at least 2027. And then after that time, it would basically be up to the unelected, unaccountable gaming commission, full of corruption, to decide how to handle them and if they wanted to transfer any license to them or anybody else.
Well, listen, we got about 30 seconds for the break, but let me ask you this. I know Attorney General Steve Marshall came out against the legislation. Do you expect to hear more from him? Is he working the issue too?
I've seen his lobbyist in the hallway when I was testifying for another committee yesterday. I do think that they have a lot of the same concerns that we have, especially on the enforcement piece.
Yeah.
That unelected enforcement agency, which is basically going to be just policemen with full police powers, really concerns them, and it should concern everybody, frankly.
All right. Listen, can you hang on during a break? Is that okay? I want to keep this conversation going a few more minutes. Okay, great. We're going to take a break right now. We're with Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. Listen, by the way, I'll just go ahead and say, if you guys want to know the things she's talking about in great depth, if you want to do a deep dive, or for that matter, you just want the high points, go to alabamapolicy.org and check out their website. All this kind of stuff is on there, and it is so worth it. All right, we'll be right back. Stephanie Smith, API, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, making common sense a superpower. I tell you, also got a lot of common sense superpower. It's our friend Stephanie Smith with the Alabama Policy Institute, and we are back on the line with her right now. So, Stephanie, all right, you've just shared the joy with me of school choice getting, torpedoed by the bill sponsor, which just bothers me. The gambling bill, where we are. And by the way, we didn't really say it, but it appears they don't have the votes at this point in the Senate. Am I correct?
That's right.
All right.
The Senate, like I said, they kind of ran into a buzzsaw in that there are some, strong no's in the Senate. This hasn't been discussed or really debated in the Senate this quadrennium. And some of the traditional yes districts have, or not that the districts were yes, but the senators that represented those districts were yeses previously on gambling have traded for some no's and some very strong no's.
I can think of a couple of them, yeah.
That's right. And some of these guys actually ran, and some of the representatives as well, actually ran on not being for gambling. And so they feel like, they have to fulfill their promises, which they should to the people who voted for them. Wes Kitchens is the newest state senator, and gambling became an issue in his race just a month ago when it was Wes Kitchens versus Brock Colvin, both no votes on gambling. But that's, you know, that's just a month old, and he's just, you know, gone around his district and told everybody that he's anti-gambling. And so that's one of those. That wasn't a trade because that was Clay Schofield's district, and he was also a no. But there have been some trades.
There have been some trades. I know one of them, and I need to talk to him. But I'm hearing that the guy who took my place, Andrew Jones, is a yes vote mm-hmm. right now on the bill, and I need to talk to him about it. But because I was the hard no,
that's right.
And now he's a potentially a yes, is what I'm hearing.
Well, and it's so interesting to see because, like I mentioned, you know, the districts really don't change. I mean, they do, they, you know, around the edges with redistricting, but right. the districts and the sentiment of the district rarely changes.
Right.
The senators change, but the districts rarely, you know, change. And so that's interesting to watch. The other thing about the Senate is that, you know, Greg Reed, I imagine, and I haven't talked to him.
The pro tem of the Senate.
Greg, yes, will probably be a yes. He was a yes last year on a local gambling amendment. That, you know, we discussed, and he was a yes a couple of years ago. And so, the leadership in the House is probably, a, what I would term hard yes versus a yes. And so that's a factor. And then there's also the fact, frankly, that this is a 145 page bill.
Yep.
And senators tend to want to read the bill.
And want to understand
what's in them. And hey, so I think that's part of the process of what's going on right now.
Let me jump on something else. I'm going to run out of time here, and I want to do touch on this.
Sure.
We got about 2 minutes left before we hit the top of the hour. The What is a Woman bill, which goes right yes. in line with the first dipper I had on today's show about the so-called new science that finds all new genders and all the things. And yet Alabama law, our friend Representative Susan DeBose has a bill that is working to uh-huh. codify what a woman is.
That's right. So Susan is carrying it in the House and April Weaver is carrying it in the Senate. I actually went and testified yesterday in the Senate committee for April and her bill. And, you know, they're companion bills. And basically what it does is it defines what a woman is. You know, we have a Supreme Court justice, a U.S. Supreme Court justice, who couldn't define it. So Alabama's going to define it for her. And it defines what a woman, man, girl, boy, mother, and father are. Because all through our laws and our codes, it refers to those things. And those things are what the vast majority of your listeners believe they are. But some people don't believe those. Be those things.
Well, the U.S. Department of State doesn't believe those things. The U.S. Department of State issued a memo last week saying, don't use those terms. Those very terms you just said, mother, father, boy, girl, all of it, they're off the list.
Yes. And it also creates a situation, codifying those things helps create not safe spaces, but individual spaces where, you know, girls can feel confident that if they're going to live in Tutwiler at the University of Alabama, they will actually be living with a female. Instead of a male, you know, who is confused about their gender.
Well, listen, we are out of time, my friend, and I think we could talk another half hour on some things that are happening down there. But thank you for the work that you're doing. And if folks want to get on your newsletter or find out other stuff, where can they find you?
You can subscribe on our website, and you can find all of our research at alabamapolicy.org.
All right, Stephanie Smith, thank you as always for the work you do. We'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Sounds good. Thanks,
Phil. All right, thank you. All right, hey, listen, coming up next, it's the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. I ain't no telling what's going to happen today. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.